Project Access for All, the podcast. Interviews and stories about issues, organizations, and people working to create access and inclusion for people with disabilities. Everyone should be welcome everywhere. Here's Project Access host, Alvaro Gutierrez.
Hello and welcome to Project Access for All. Today, our guest is Michael J. Schoensberg, and he really is someone who I'm very excited to interview him, to be honest with you, because he's the executive director of Disability Pride NYC. In my first question to Michael, and we're going to talk a lot about Disability Pride Parade, which is a wonderful event for the Americans with Disabilities Act 25th anniversary, that is this 2015 that we are beginning. Michael, my first question, well, first of all, thank you so much for being with us.
Oh, thank you. Thank you. I'm equally proud to be taking part in this, as you know, your outreach to the community is very good. I'm, you know, honored that you're helping us spread our message. Thank you very much.
Well, you're very welcome, Michael. And my first question to you is, this wonderful name, Disability Pride NYC, who came with this idea?
Well, it's a great story, really. A fellow named Mike LaDun, who's a renowned jazz musician, who has a daughter with multiple disabilities, was taking her to school. She is, by the way, now 10 years old. And 3 years ago, he came upon this notion because after the first year of walking her to school, he really tired of parents allowing their children to turn around and point at her and gawk at her and treat her as someone from a sideshow. He then witnessed the Gay Pride Parade and said, "What's wrong with this picture? Why isn't there a Disability Pride Parade?" And so, not being involved with any disability organizations or anything, he just set out as an individual to, with a germ of an idea, to make something that would display his pride in his daughter, to his daughter, for his daughter. And again, not having the support of any of our recognized organizations, reached out to friends until he finally found a couple of attorneys who said that they would work pro bono to help him organize what in this country is known as a 501c3. It's the federal designation for a not-for-profit organization. He then set about trying to form committees. He did so on two occasions. They both disbanded, but he stuck with it. He didn't get discouraged. He, you know, encountered a lot of adversities, but he kept at it, and he kept at it. Then he was getting ready to start his third sort of incarnation of this, and that's when a blast email went out that I read. I attended that first meeting in July, liked very much what I heard, embraced and loved the concept. And my first reaction was to call our fabulous commissioner, Victor Calisi, who was very generous with his time, very supportive, very giving. In fact, it was the commissioner who suggested the route for our parade. He also informed me of the, you know, a better estimate of the cost of the parade. But, you know, what I remember most from that conversation was the end of the conversation when I suggested that perhaps he'd be kind enough to, you know, nominate a staff member to serve as liaison between the parade committee and himself. And he said, "Oh, no, Mike. No, I want to stay on top of this myself. If you have any questions, causes, concerns, anything, please call me and I'll take your call. And true to his word, every time I called, he picked up. He's been central to our progress, and I can't thank him enough. So how it's evolved? Well, that's the biggest turning point in our evolution was the mayor's office coming on board. But as I sort of anticipated, it's been embraced by the broad spectrum of the disability community, and we're really greatly encouraged by that.
Very interesting, Michael, and for our listeners, there's going to be a surprise later on. Now, I would like to know, in your opinion, what do you think this kind of event is important, not only for the city of New York, but for the whole country, for the whole world to see?
Well, because the concept of pride seems foreign to so many in the disability community. You know, I've been going to meetings throughout the city since I got started with this, and that's the most frequently asked question. They say, proud? It's one thing to accept, but another to be proud. I might take pride in adapting and surviving, but how can I be proud of being disabled? You know, I view that question as a reaction to the prejudice against our community or any of the other, you know, different people who make up our society. But remember our amazement when James Brown first sang, "Say It Loud, I'm Black and I'm Proud." Are you old enough to remember when gay pride seemed an oxymoron? Now we happily celebrate Puerto Rican pride and Irish pride and pride this and pride that. You know, the people who established those movements realized simply that denial or assimilation are not the answers. They make our identities invisible. Yet such is the power of the status quo that too many are conditioned to hide their differences. So I believe it's time to follow Mike LeDun's lead, the commissioner's advice, and take pride, true pride, in who we are, in our identities. That's why I think not only our parade, but the entire month-long series of events being planned for the month of July here in New York City are very, very important to the community.
Very good point, Michael. And as someone who has visual impairment here in Los, I can relate to that and understand it and agree with that. And I know everyone at RBN site thinks the same, and that's one of the reasons we are doing this podcast, to raise awareness about the beauty of people in this diverse society we live in, and to make sure that we always think about inclusion, equality, and respect for all. So it's very exciting, Michael.
Thank you.
So, as we know, this year, the 80 and 25 celebrations in expanded community outreach are essential parts of what is going to be this Disability Pride Parade. I would like to know why inclusion is key in this parade and in everything related to the ADA and ADA 25.
Well, if by inclusion you're referring to our strong push to ensure that all segments of the disability community are recognized and involved, then I'd say this. One of our primary goals is to tear down the silos that keep us apart and that keep us from speaking with a unified voice. We are the largest minority. Imagine our collective strength when hundreds of organizations across this city, speaking for millions of people, join together. That's why I believe inclusion is so vitally important and why we are striving to accomplish just that.
Now, this parade is going to be held where exactly this year?
Okay. It will be marching from the northern part of Madison Square Park, so that's 26th Street and 5th Avenue, to join Broadway, then down Broadway to the northern end of Union Square Park, where we will have a sort of a mobilization rally at the beginning and a large show with speakers and entertainers, and some very exciting people are coming on board to perform that afternoon. But that will be the big show at the northern end of Union Square Park.
Now, Michael, how do you make sure that there is a way that the five boroughs is as many disability groups can participate in this debate?
Well, look, early on, I realized that we had to make the effort. And so I put in place a series of meetings. You know, we were having monthly planning meetings anyway, but we are taking our show on the road. Starting this Friday in Brooklyn, we will have the first of our other borough outreach meetings and organizing committee meetings. That will take place in a different borough every month leading up to the parade itself 6 months from now. So we will have Friday's meeting in Brooklyn. The next meeting will be in Queens. Following that will be the Bronx. Following that will be Staten Island. We are going out to Long Island to make it a little bit more regional, but because of the strong interest expressed by several organizations out there. And then our final meeting will be in Harlem, which is in Manhattan. But it's absolutely necessary to ensure that, to the greatest extent possible, obviously we're not going to capture everyone, but to the greatest extent possible, we are going to them to make it easier for them to be part of us. We want the celebration this year and in every year to be more and more inclusive of the, you know, vast and diverse array of organizations, individuals, and different people that come together to make up our broad, proud disability community. The only way I think we accomplish that is by going to them. Not sitting back here in Manhattan waiting for them to come to us. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, I have to say for our listeners that I'm very happy that Long Island is included. Many people.
So am I.
Yes, many people have told me about that, and they're going to be happy to know that. I would like to know if someone is listening right now from any organization or any person of any abilities right now and says, okay, I want to be in that parade, I want to participate, I want to march. Tell us, how can they do that?
Oh, wish that everybody could hear this wonderful podcast, because, you know, and thanks for asking. You know, I believe it's vitally important for folks to know. You know, we're at this point, we're greatly encouraged by the interest building among that diverse array of organizations, and we really do appreciate that. But most importantly, we want individuals, particularly those not affiliated with organizations, to know that this event is as much about them and their well-being as it is about celebrating the achievements of the organized disability movement. We will have a registration form available on our website that they can look for in, I'd like to say, April, but certainly no later than May 1st. So they need only go to disabilitypridenyc.com, and they can register there to march in the parade. And we want individuals to know, you know, certainly word is spreading fast among the many organizations in town, and they'll know, you know, how to sign up. But it's that person who's a little disenfranchised, that person who doesn't perhaps identify, who doesn't take part in activities related to the disability community. We want to capture that person. We want to help instill this sense of pride that we're trying to develop throughout the community, person by person. So thank you very much for the question, and I hope that that lone individual out there who wants to know how to get involved, hopefully now they know how to get involved. Thanks for the question.
No, my pleasure. And Michael, I was thinking, okay, I have two questions that I have not prepared here, but okay, you give me an option to these follow-ups. And one is, if someone is visiting from another state, are they able to participate?
Absolutely. Oh, my goodness. We're getting calls from all over the country. Great. People are sending contingents, floats, you know, organizations are coming, individuals are coming. We welcome everybody who wants to celebrate Disability Pride on July 12th to be, you know, to come, march, be proud, be loud, and have a good time, because it's going to be a great event.
Oh, yes. And for our listeners, I have to ask, do you have any idea of who in the political or the celebrity, kind of people we are able to attract to this event? Because I think for our listeners, this is also critical to get massive response. You know, I think that the media, everybody should be embracing this. I think the gay community has done a wonderful job in making sure that everyone understands the importance of equality and civil rights and being included in society. And they have made it, you know, clear to society, and everybody have responded to that. So I wonder, Michael, I know it's early, I know we don't know yet, but I hope many people from all parts of the political aisle and everybody's going to be present in this parade and in this celebration, because it's about society.
Well, let me tell you that I have had, for different reasons, now, I'm not saying that these meetings were set up to discuss disability pride. I have a number of other things that I work hard on. But I've had the opportunity over the last few months to meet with dozens of elected officials. And each of them is really excited about our parade and has offered, you know, assistance or promises that they would attend and march with us. I'm very, very encouraged by that. Obviously, our mayor, number one, is solidly behind us, and that's big in this city. You know, I'm not saying that his predecessor was not supportive of the community, but certainly, you know, didn't go to the, wasn't interested to the extent that our current mayor is, who's organizing an entire month-long series of events to celebrate our community and our achievements over the last 25 years. I'll also let you know, but I can't at this point name names, but that certain presidential candidates or potential presidential candidates have expressed interest, not made commitment, but expressed interest. We have been noticed by elected officials on the federal, state, and local level. So there is, you know, that is what would be an amazing outcome for this parade, to have any number of politicians get up on our stage and make promises that we will hold them to.
Absolutely, absolutely. Now, you responded that already, if I'm not mistaken, but for our listeners, I want to be clear on something that you said related to, is there going to be a yearly event?
No doubt. It has always been our intention to make it an annual event. But beyond that, as I said, we're very proud to be part of the planning committee with the mayor's office. And what I'm most happy with is that I offered the notion to my colleagues on that planning committee that we keep the band together and that we do this, that month-long series of events every year, and that's been met with enthusiasm. So not only will our parade be an annual event, but hopefully the entire series of events will be repeated year after year. And that means, you know, cultural institutions, academic institutions, you know, the museums, performance venues, and like that, will all be presenting lectures and exhibits and, you know, theater and dance and poetry in venues in all the five boroughs throughout the month of March. As we continue on in the ensuing years, we'll, you know, only be expanding that. So,
is big news, Michael.
Yeah.
News for many, and I'm sure I speak in the name of everybody to say this is wonderful, because that's what we need. You know, it's important to keep going. It's important to keep expanding our reach. And it's important to keep going and going and going. If you only do this to celebrate one major breakthrough or one major anniversary and then you stop, then you lose all the traction you got. So I think this is critical for the movement.
And it's an idea, you know, whose time is long past due. You know, let's look at the gay pride movement, right?
Right.
That parade started the year after a riot, and the parade date was determined by the date of that riot, and it is continued every year around the date of that riot. Well, for my money, the anniversary of something as important as our Bill of Rights, the ADA, is a far more significant event than a riot. With all, you know, due respect to the LGBT community, what I'm saying is, you know, the ADA is a life-changing document that needs to be better recognized. And so I would be proud if this parade, in addition to the many parades, by the way, that happen across the country, become the vehicles for celebration of that very important piece of legislation, and to celebrate the progress that it has helped enable.
Now, I would like to know, do you know if there's going to be another Disability Pride Parade anywhere else in the United States?
Oh, absolutely. Look, Chicago's been has held annual parades for about 12 years now. Last year, there were parades in New Jersey, Philadelphia, Colorado, in Ohio, in Silicon Valley. And my favorite is the one in Nacogdoches, Texas. I've never heard of Nacogdoches, Texas, but evidently it's a tiny little town, and they have a Disability Pride Parade. How about that?
That says it all of the importance, yes. Now, I would like to hear an advice from you, maybe for people that are trying to start something right now related to the ADA, or they are maybe, you know, trying to start like a march or, you know, something that may impact the community, and they are thinking, how do we start to make some noise? Because it has to be everywhere. It has to. He's talking about New York City. I may be in Florida. We may have things going on, but I would like to do more. How can I start my own little thing, maybe not even so little, where I am?
Well, just do it. The time has come. You know, the time is now. Look, we are a 100% grassroots volunteer organization, started, as I said, by the parent of a child with disabilities. Someone who, other than his adoration of his daughter, had no affiliation with the disability movement. He recognized the need, and he fought for 3 years to bring us to this point. So I would advise that in your planning, you be careful to maintain that it be of, by, and for the disability community. And certainly, if you are an individual or a group intent on bringing a disability celebration to your town, feel free to reach out to me, and I'll be happy to provide you with as much guidance as possible.
Speaking of which, Michael, how can people reach out to you and to go to the website and find more information about the Disability Pride Parade?
Okay. Like our effort, it is it is in progress. So our website is, you know, an effort in progress, but it's up. So you could go to disabilitypridenyc.com. Now, depending upon when you're hearing this, it may have morphed into disabilitypridenyc.org. We own that domain as well, and I think that's more appropriate. And we may switch it over to the .org, O-R-G, domain. But Disability Pride NYC, a Google search will get you to us. Matter of fact, now when you put up Disability Pride, the first, you know, when you Google Disability Pride, the first half a dozen listings or so are relative to our organization. So we shouldn't be too hard to find.
Michael, nobody knows it all. So is there anything that I haven't asked you that you would like to discuss before I give you questions from someone you know very well?
Sure. I'll reiterate that, you know, this is still a work in progress, and there's time for more folks to get involved. So they could do so by attending one or more of our monthly meetings that will be coming to a borough near you soon. If you can't attend a meeting, join in the efforts of your local organization. And if you have no affiliation, be sure to come out and share your pride on July 12th.
Wonderful. And now, from New York City, MOPD New York Commissioner Victor Colisi has some inspiring questions to you.
Hi, Alvaro, and hi, everybody listening. I'm Victor Colisi, the Commissioner of the Mayor's Office for People with Disabilities. First, thanks for all your help, for your support, and your commitment to New York City's ADA 25 anniversary. My first question for you is, what does the ADA and this 25th anniversary mean for you?
Well, the ADA is, of course, our Bill of Rights. Yet, no similar decree in modern times has suffered the attacks that ADA endured during the previous administration. Thankfully, ADA restoration legislation was enacted that strengthened the law and the protections it offers. As you know, Commissioner, in years past, I've emceed several ADA events in Brooklyn, and they are among the most joyful celebrations I've witnessed. That we are getting ready to celebrate a milestone as significant as the 25th anniversary always filled me with anticipation. That I might be able, thanks in no small way to your generosity and your spirit, Commissioner, but that I might be able to help commemorate such an important event in such a meaningful way is simply overwhelming, and I thank you.
My second question, as you know, the ADA looks out for the well-being of people with disabilities. So all of these areas where the ADA is improving people's lives, employment, transportation, public accommodations, public services, and telecommunications, which one do you think needs the most improvement?
Wow. Now I know I'm going to get in trouble no matter how I answer this question, but at the risk of offending our friends who advocate specifically for any one of those areas, I'd have to say employment. Not only because of the effect on an individual's financial status, but by being in the workplace and performing their duties, they are demonstrating their abilities in their work setting, and they are displaying the beauty and dignity of difference. It is a small celebration of diversity and a grand statement of pride.
And my final question, what's your message for any young people listening to encourage them to help celebrate and keep the spirit of the ADA moving forward?
Well, I guess you would mean besides trotting out the old tired trope of you are our future. Well, they are. And we have no future without them picking up the baton and moving forward. Beyond that, I would share with them my own personal creed. Confront your fears, whether those fears have to do with yourself or how others might view you. Become visible. Challenge prejudice. Never apologize for being you. Take pride in who you are.
And finally, I want to make sure everyone knows about the NYC Disability Pride Parade taking place on July 12th, which is a great way for people with disabilities to celebrate their pride. So I hope to see you on July 12th, marching with us in the Disability Pride Parade.
We are getting to the final seconds of this talk, but I really want to thank you, Michael, for your dedication, your commitment, your passion, and the wonderful spirit that you bring to this show today. I'm sure people that are going to listen are going to be inspired to do something related to the ADA at 25, to the ADA in general, and obviously to go marching July 12th, which for our listeners, I also have to say, is my own birthday.
Yes. There's so many people I know have told me that same thing.
Really, really?
I guess all the great people were born on July 12th.
What can I say, Michael? But thank you for that. But, you know, I really hope that all of us are going to be present there, you know, for ABS and for Pride Taxes for All and everybody who is in this wonderful community of us and who supports what we are all trying to do together. Because unity, I think, is one of the words of this talk today, at least for me. You know, you talk about unity, you talk about one voice, I think is critical for our community in order to move forward in the right direction. Any final thoughts?
No, except that it is refreshing to hear that what I've heard expressed a lot in meeting rooms across this city is shared across the world. It's really wonderful to hear that we're on the same page, separated by a continent, but, you know, speaking the same language. That is wonderfully encouraging, and let's just continue to spread this message of joy throughout the world together. I'd appreciate that. Thank you kindly.
My pleasure, Michael. Thank you so much for being with us. And for our listeners, remember you can follow Project Taxes for All on Twitter. You can like us on Facebook, Project Taxes for All. And I hope you're going to have a wonderful day. And also, remember you can email us at podcast@projectaccessforall.org. And from Alvaro, from ABS team, and from everybody who does this show, thank you so much for listening and have a wonderful day.
Project Access for All, the podcast, is a production of Art Beyond Sight in New York. For more about Art Beyond Sight and Project Access, visit this website, projectaccessforall.org. And you can like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, and find Project Access on iTunes. Project Access. Everyone should be welcome, everywhere.